Voices of VR podcast. Hello, my name is Ken Pai, and welcome to the Voices of VR podcast. I am really excited to dive into today's episode to dig into what's happening with the funding of public XR projects and immersive experiences, some really exciting stuff that's happening over there in the Netherlands. But before we dive into that, I just want to mention that I've been very busy over the last 7 months on a variety of different things, including going to these different conferences and covering them. I've got coverage from South by Southwest, from United XR, and still my coverage from Venice Immersive that I want to dig into before I go to the next conferences that are coming up here. AWE is the next place I'll be at. But I wanted to say that I spent about a month and a half, 2 months working on this extensive 121-page report that's called IFA DocLab Immersive Think Tank Report. It's essentially a forecasting of what's happening in the state of XR industry. I know if you're in the XR industry, there's been a lot of changes. It feels like we're at this beginning of a new immersive cycle. I've been giving a number of different talks over the last number of months as well, fleshing out some of the different ideas around where we're at and where we're going. I think this report will do a really good job of trying to kind of encapsulate everything that's happening and starting to flesh out some of what I see as this kind of like revolution of indie XR immersive distribution. There's different ways that Meta have taken a step back, but in that stepping back, I think that the XR industry is going to actually have this flourishing of being able to kind of organically grow of different initiatives that are happening. And I'm really excited to start to dig into some of the things that are happening at more of the international scale, including the CCCIC, which is what we're going to be covering on today's episode. It's the Creative Industries Immersive Impact Coalition based out of the Netherlands. It's a unique Dutch program that's funded by 200 million euros over the next 5 years, funded by their National Growth Council. It includes everything from the Netherlands Ministries of Education, Culture and Science, and the Economic Affairs and Climate Policy. So essentially, it's a growth fund where they're trying to fund these variety of different projects that we'll be talking about and exploring a little bit more. But one of them includes like funding artists to collaborate with research to figure out how to do a variety number of things. Things like revitalize civic society, which is a conversation I had previously with Martin DeWall on the podcast here. So I'll be talking to Helene Rao, who's the program director of the CCCIC. And, you know, there's a lot of funding that's going into these initiatives and efforts, everything from looking at having artists collaborate with researchers, but also looking at policing, education, but also urban development. So we'll be talking about some of those different projects. Since this conversation happened in December, there have been a couple of announcements where on March 12th, the CCCIC announced the 17 selected projects for the Innovation Impact Challenge, the Immersive Experiences in Urban Development. So the CCCIC uses the phrase IX to talk about immersive experiences, and they think about it very broadly. It's not tethered to a specific technology. It's really thinking about immersive experiences very broadly, sometimes not even including immersive technologies. And so it could be experiential design in an immersive sense of trying to figure out new ways of revitalizing civic society. But the other thing that was announced on February 2026 was the Artistic and Design Research for Immersive Experiences. So that includes the Shared Realities Consortium, which I covered previously, and also is a part of with the IFA Doc Lab, MIT Open Documentary Lab, PHI, and then the Amsterdam University of Applied Sciences, Martin DeWall, who I've interviewed previously, as well as a number of other XR studios that are based in the Netherlands. A lot of the funding that is happening with the CCCIC is focused on Netherlands-specific projects and companies, but they're also going to be expanding out into more international calls and trying to create a model for this type of mission-oriented funding that Mariana Mazzucato has talked about in terms of using public funding to kind of drive innovation and to push forward a number of different public values, including things like they're developing knowledge and methods for using immersive experiences, developing the talent within the context of the Netherlands, creating ecosystem and facilities for immersive experiences, innovation and demonstration of projects, and then creating kind of a cohesive synergy and coherence between all these things of their innovation agenda, public values, community events, narrative and communications, and their knowledge platform that they're developing. So there's a lot of really exciting things that are happening with some of this public funding, like the CCCIC, and hopefully if it has some early success of over the next couple of years showing the early results, then it may start to expand out to other places in Europe. I don't expect the United States to be doing any public funding for these types of things, but there's a lot of really exciting things that are happening in the context of the European Union and places like the Netherlands and the CCCIC, which again is the Creative Industries Immersive Impact Coalition. So we're covering all that and more on today's episode of the Voices of VR podcast. So this interview with the program director of the CCCIC, Helene Rao, happened on December 10th, 2025 at the United XR Conference. in Brussels, Belgium. So with that, let's go ahead and dive right in.
I'm Helene Rau. I'm the program director of CIIIC. That stands for Creative Industries Immersive Impact Coalition, which is a Dutch program funded by the National Growth Fund. It's 200 million euros funded for 5 years to strengthen the immersive content field in the Netherlands. So enable the people that are in the industry, researchers, creators, public and private organizations to work together, bring new solutions or to further develop solutions that are there and scale it. Distribution is important and gain societal impact as well. Impact is a really important part of the program. Mm. And all this responsible and safe and for access for all, you could say. So public values are very much key in the program. Mm. Yeah.
I'm curious if you could give a bit more context as to your own background and your journey into the space.
I'm from film originally, so I started in film distribution, but after that I went a big journey on myself throughout all kinds of entertainment assignments. I was a consultant for 25 years working in culture, entertainment, but also trying to bridge public or customers to projects or events or presentations or content that maybe they wouldn't find themselves. So I try to get new audiences, new people, to bring them to interesting content that they should know about. So that's kind of the line in between. And I'm like an enabler. So I love creativity. I'm a very curious person, but I'm not a creator myself. But I see so many people so talented, and I think their talent should be brought further. So I try to enable that in many ways. And I worked also at a broadcasting media, working on communication and merging broadcasters. Worked in the zoo, trying to have the living stories brought to an audience. And last, before I just went to CIIIC, I was the director of CineKit, Children International Film Festival, which had a huge media lab. And my interest of using different forms and instruments of telling stories was like amazing there, because children are already very much in a world where physical and digital are intertwined completely, and they're very curious and trying things out. So from that perspective, I worked with a lot of artists at CineKit, and they're also in the immersive world where we are now. And this is kind of the artistic side of our program, or the artistic creators in our program, that really made me think like I would like to try to make this program. I knew of the program when I was at CineKit. I heard it was coming and I thought it's an innovation program. It's complicated to understand for the creative sector, but there are opportunities. And I think I could help them to understand them and to bring them together with people that can help them to bring this further. So that's why I applied for this crazy job in January this year and started afterwards. Yeah.
Yeah. And being here at United XR, and then I've also been at AWE, and so I've seen there's quite a big difference between the approach of how the XR industry is happening in the United States, which tends to be survival of the fittest, having these companies either get VC funding or be bootstrapped and then really have to go to market. And there is an enterprise community within the United States, but there's also a push for the big companies to push to the consumer, the end users. In Europe, it seems like that there's a lot more support for funding these startup companies to have a little bit more runway or leeway to think around the overall impact of what they're using XR for. But also there isn't as much pressure to skip to a consumer market, but to see how there might be real value that's generated by like the enterprise market. So really government's trying to sustain the ways that XR can be used in enterprise. And just curious to hear some of your reflections on that and how the CIIC is trying to be this bridge between what's happening in immersive technology, but also what the overall values or guiding principles you're using in order to dictate what type of things you're funding.
Well, our guiding, it's public funding. So the impact, the societal impact is key. Whether it's on the artistic side, when you are working on a like shared realities program that's being developed, for instance, on one side of the program, or like looking at how you can use XR in urban development or social cohesion topics. So for us, it's all about solving like social challenges in a way. The program approaches it that way. So that's the base of the program. But from this development from these innovations, it's also transferable to applications that are more like in the commercial world, maybe. So it's like social helping social enterprising get better. But there are both social enterprises, you had artistic enterprises, which are not really enterprises. It's a lot of the small SMEs are not able to make a step further into scaling or finding ways to get their content into some kind of a business model. It doesn't have to be like profitable, but it has to be cost neutral, you could say. And it's a difficult area, social enterprising. It's everywhere, it's difficult. But I think there's a lot of potential within the immersive world that you can really make a difference in this place. And the public money should be used to help realizing that. So the fact that it's more, it has the empathy strength, the efficiency, a very effective way of learning things or being in things, it's so powerful. I think that's what our program is mostly about. But it's a big challenge because the organizations that should be using these kind of solutions, sometimes they just don't know that it's for them or how it would work or find the budgets to bring it to these kind of like bringing applications further into from prototyping into products. So that's what we're working really hard on, to connect them also to these people. So use cases, show don't tell, that's really important to bring this field further in the Netherlands. And that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah, and I know the first time that I heard about the CIIIC was last year at IFA Doc Labs R&D Summit, and then you were there again giving a bit more of an update. And so maybe you could take me back to when the creation of the CIIC was, and like what was the catalyst to create it?
Where there were several challenges, lack of knowledge and methods, lack of human capital in that way, a lack of really places where you could bring it further, like facilities, and also a very much shattered field of people that were involved in creating immersive content. So these were all challenges that were being seen. And also immersion comes also from like the game industry, which was also very successful, but all a little bit flatlining, seeing the potential of all these interactive forms and seeing them being used in other areas, like in film, using game engines or in architecture, etc. So there were these challenges, but there were all these opportunities as well. So that's why there was a choice to really go into this specific field of immersive, to take this out of you could look at the whole creative industry, but this specific part and make a program for it. And not only looking at it from a perspective like funding projects, but really taking it integral, like helping on these knowledge and methods, putting out calls for that, really strengthening human capital, like talent development, really creating together with the community field labs where you can actually work together and also create challenges together with applied like organizations that could apply these solutions. So there was this idea, there was a big application to the fund, and then it was honored in I think April 24, and then the program was built in the way I just explained it to you, which is really complicated because you are using existing executing partners, funding partners. But at the same time, you try to connect all these different schemes together that they make sense and they create a synergy and create this, eventually this impact on the field. And at this moment, I mean, it's now December. The program officially started in April. The first two calls were set out then. So we're still, we are just starting, but it's 5 years that we have this money. So it's a really fast-paced situation where at the same time as we are setting out these calls, we are listening to the community, how things are working, because everything is new. We are trying to create new consortia, new ways of working together, which people are not used to. I mean, creators and researchers working together, they speak different languages. So you really have to make an effort to connect them. So that's also a really important role that we have, I think. But the same with the organizations that should apply these solutions to bring them together. So at this moment, we are still tweaking the program on the feedback we get from the community, but we are moving forward. So I think halfway next year, we will have 5 field labs selected, like IX labs that will be facilities that are being used by the community, but also by other parties. We will have 5 consortia doing artistic design research. It's already starting end of January, actually. We have 2 challenges with the police and with municipalities on urban development already starting also this year. So a lot of organizations are using this money and really working on innovation projects within the program. So, but we don't know yet what it will actually bring, because the output and the eventually the impact will be there in 2030, 2031. But we now already see a big change and a lot of energy for parties that really are trying to connect, like knowledge institutes with facilities, but also the creators, which is like the core of the program. The biggest challenge is to put them into the strong position, because a lot of consortia are built around bigger organizations like festivals or presentation museums or schools, and to give the money directly to creators, that's a difficult thing to do. So we really have to find ways to make that possible in the best possible way to actually bring them to it's not only professionalizing, but make them stronger also as a group, to have all their artistic talents brought into practice and to monetize it in a way, or to create impact most of all. Yeah, that's kind of the important one.
So can you take me back to the decision that the CIIC had? You know, it's the immersive and creative industry. There's, you know, XR, there's AR, mixed reality, artificial intelligence sometimes gets thrown in the mix. What was it about this confluence of immersive technologies that catalyzed the decision to move forward with a fund like this?
You mean to create a program at all?
Yeah. What is about XR that now was the time to be able to have a fund like this? Well, I'm just trying to get a sense of what was seen in the larger market or the application, or what was the catalyst, the turning point for this to be created in the first point?
Yeah, I think it's already like a decade ago that it was like getting big. I don't know exactly why that was the moment, because I started later on, and the choice exactly to do that, I think the feeling of there was an opportunity, and also bring it more into the business to business field, and to really use it as an alternative for other ways or traditional ways of communicating and to tell stories. That's kind of a wave that was coming, and the Netherlands saw the wave coming, but it was like, okay, now if we are not stepping on it now, then we will lose it, like we did with the last few waves. I mean, we were too slow with the internet maybe, or with the social development. So now the Netherlands really needs to do this, because the talent that is in the Netherlands already and that's been known, that is there, we have to really bring this further. We have to invest in it. If we don't do it, then we are not part of the future. So it's a very essential choice was being made to do this. And to choose this specific field is because there's a lot of talent around in the Netherlands in this field. Yeah.
And what kind of discussions have you been having here at United XR, since there's a lot of other countries with their own associations and representatives? And in discussion with Alina, she was telling me that with EU funding, sometimes they require having these collaborations and consortia that go across countries. And so they need to have collaborations for a larger EU funding. But just curious to hear a little bit more around the context for the types of conversations and intentions for having these future collaborations with these other countries.
Well, we had a talk about semantic problems, like you're talking about digital creativity, or you're talking about cultural creativity, you're talking about creative tech. I mean, there are so many ways to approach this field, and every country or even every scheme, you've got Creative Europe, you've got Horizon, you've got Digital Europe, it's all different kind of European schemes, but also ministries and the organization of ministries within countries is different. So sometimes it's the Ministry of Culture that is moving forward, sometimes it's economics, sometimes there is a Ministry of Innovation, and sometimes they're combined. And we talked a lot about the challenges that are there in defining what are we talking about. Because for us, in our program, we are approaching it like immersive content is something different than maybe looking at it from a technology perspective. For us, it's like immersion. There is a digital aspect on it, but it's not like it's the VR or it's the AR specifically. It can be spatial. It can be so many other things and mixed forms. And you see, this approach that we have is a little bit different than what I see in other countries, where there's more like studios working on a specific XR, like VR, AI, AR kind of way. And we are looking at much broader. So what the conversation, what we had was like, we're doing it all differently, but how can we have like some kind of mapping of what is happening everywhere and to see the connections we can make and to see the opportunities, not only through these European programs, but also learning from ways of funding that we can create for this immersive world. Because there are not real strong funding opportunities that fit in the dynamics of this field. Maybe that's also for the creative industry as a whole. It's very, very difficult because, for instance, sometimes as an immersive artist, you can go to like a fund that is for theater. Sometimes you go to a fund that's for film or for creative industries. And then you go there and then your work doesn't fit. So these kind of problems that are all over the place. And then apart from that, the whole like tech opportunities, like you have like a tax reduction method in Belgium for film. Maybe you can use it also for immersive. So we are trying to look at all these kind of schemes or possibilities that there are. And also we need to discuss with the financiers if we can simplify or translate it more towards this industry in every possible way, because the structures of governments are not really matching with our industry. And if we want to do it this way, or we are doing moving forward together with policymakers and with governments, then we really need to adjust there. And that, I think, is a very big challenge we spoke about together a lot. And there's not really straight away a solution, but first inventorize to see what is there. And moving from there, together to find alternatives and to propose them also, not only on a European level, but also on the national levels. I think there are a lot of opportunities there if we try together. Because there are a lot of very clever people working in this industry, in this XR, and very devoted, coming from creatorship. But everybody's very dedicated to make this work. So I think we could make a difference if we really try. But now is the moment. We shouldn't be waiting.
Nice. So what's next for the CIIIIC?
Well, we opened up. So we started. We are opening up more calls. The next step is also the international approach. So involving other organizations than Dutch organizations to get involved in the calls that we have. So we're trying to let them know. But also to make the collaborations work. So to help get common ground, common languages within the consortia. That's important in order to be successful in the innovations that people are doing, because innovation means that it's allowed to fail. But we hope that a lot of success come out of it. So the next step is it's moving, work in progress, looking at how it's working, learning from it. And then hopefully early 27, we will have some prototypes and some results from the first year and try to share it as much with other countries. And also share the way we are trying to do this, because we are kind of unique in the Netherlands doing this. Share it with other countries, inspire other governments, and see how we can, yeah, make the immersive field, the ecosystem, not only the Netherlands, but also internationally stronger. Mm-hmm. So it's a very big ambition, but yeah, we should try and we should do it.
Let's do it.
Let's ride that immersive wave, right?
Awesome. And finally,
shape it as well, actually, of course. It's not only writing it, but it's shaping it together with people. So, and I mean, we're here to facilitate. Our program is here to help people and to make it work together. We're listening to what's happening in the field. And also, maybe the program is not perfect and everybody understands that. But you can either look at it like, oh, it's not perfect. It's too hard work. I'm not going to go for it. Or you're going to try to be part of it and let us help you to be part of it. I think that's a really important goal that we have as a team of CIIIC.
Nice. And finally, what do you think the ultimate potential for all these immersive technologies might be and what they might be able to enable?
That's a big question. I hope it can really help us in society to be more together and more understanding of each other in any possible way. I think for me personally, that's something that it really should be able to bring. It's a very powerful tool. It's a very powerful way to make a difference. And I would love to see how we further experiment into the world where we are playing with these immersive and reality-based aspects. Like it's in a playful way, but it's next to our real world because it can help us, but it shouldn't be taking over. So I think that's a bit the scary part, what I think. In the consumer business, it can be taking over. And I'm also worried about the whole ethics of it. I think it's really hard to find a way in which stage are we involving public values in the whole innovation. Should we do it in the start? Should we maybe have the experiment working? And then after the experiment, we will ask the questions. Because if you ask them on the beginning, then it's maybe innovation is hard to do. And there's a lot of hesitance also in the commercial world to start too early with looking at ethics, but we need to do it. So how can we do it in a way that everybody feels like it's important and that we own it and not it's only like you have to do it, it's obligatory and it feels like I don't like it, but I need to do it. But really to understand why it's important for all of us to look at the ethics of how we use immersive, because it can be very powerful in a good and in a bad way. Like we did Immersive Dreams and Nightmares in South by Southwest last year with Creative and LCCCC. Really keep on talking with each other about these things and not taking it for granted that everybody could be trusted with this technology.
Is there anything else that Stefan said that you'd like to say to the broader immersive community?
Well, I would love to know from anyone who's finding out new ways of learning things in the immersive world, like trying things out, like ways of how you can do your distribution or create new ways of working together. I think the educational system is not at the moment the place where the new skills are being learned. Maybe you learn it in practice. And we would like to enable these organizations also internationally, like to get to know them, to see what's happening on training perspective or lifelong learning, you could say, which we could help share knowledge of, that more people in the industry can use market-driven skill learning. I think that we have to look at it bottom-up and to get it out of the practical world into the educational system, because the educational system really needs impulses to have the right education for young people to go and work in this industry because there's a lack of skills. So which skills are that and how can we help to get people, enable people to get these skills, upskilling or any other way? So I would like to know if there are talent programs, please let me know. And also any ideas on working together, creating collaboration would be great. And help us, please, to get these public values within our system. We're doing it all fragmented in Europe, a lot of initiatives. And Netherlands also, we created an instrument in our program, but it's like 0.1 version. And we need to bring it further. And we would like to create some kind of learning community working together on how bringing public values into practice, not only in research, but also in practice. Mm. So that's to the listeners. If you are working on that or have ideas, please share it with us.
Yeah, it reminds me of the conversation I had with Martin DeWall, and he was one of the applicants for the CCCC. And so, yeah, using immersive tech to kind of reinvigorate like civil society and ways that people can not become passive citizens, but become more active participants in the co-creation of their democracies.
That's what our program is about. That's the social impact that you want to make. So that's something Martin is doing a lot. And I think that's, yeah, within that, public values are placed, but anywhere. Also, if you look at it from perspective, if you are creating challenges for the police, you also have to think about the fact, which data am I getting from people? What am I saying? What am I doing? How does it feel? Sustainability. I mean, there are a lot of topics in this field of public values we should think of, because we're using a lot of energy making all these beautiful immersive experiences. But we should also think what the effects are doing that. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, it's really exciting to hear a little bit more around the CCCC and, you know, where things are going to be going over the next 5 to 6 years as you're funding all these projects and incubating all these public interest projects. And yeah, I've had encounters with some of the different applicants already, and it's just really, really exciting to see that there's funding available to experiment and to push forward what's even possible with, you know, applying these technologies in a variety of different contexts. So yeah, Helene, thanks so much for joining me here.
And the last thing is maybe the biggest challenge is to make this sustainable. So this is innovation funding. So how can we make it sustainable? How can we connect with other funding opportunities or making this field strong enough to go further? Because when the money is finished, it doesn't need to be ending. So that's, I think, really, really important. And that's not easy, but we have to make that work. That's important.
Yeah. It seems like a theme that I'm hearing a lot is that there's a lot of grants and funding, but trying to bring some of the other entrepreneurial spirit to make it more self-sustaining. So there's a bit of catalyst to get it started, but something that's going to grow in the future on its own without having to rely upon that funding in the future. So awesome. Well, thanks again for joining me here on the podcast to help give us a little bit of a sneak peek for what's to come with the CCCC.
Thanks for having me, and hope to speak to a lot of people at a lot of new places that we will be in next year and see all the challenges and great things that everybody's doing. Yeah.
So that was Helene Rao. She's the program director of the CCCC. That's the Creative Industries Immersive Impact Coalition that's based out of the Netherlands. So I'm really excited about this CCCC, especially because they're funding the Shared Realities Coalition, which is a part of this whole report that I was writing up, trying to cast a larger scale for their focus of what's happening. And I just wanted to just say a few words in terms of reflecting on both of what the CCCC is doing, but also this broader movement of what's happening in Indie XR immersive distribution, which I think is explicated in this 121-page report. It's free. You don't even need to submit your email. I'll have a link in the show notes. Definitely go check it out. It's the IFA Doc Lab Immersive Think Tank Report, Cross-Sector Insights and Reflections on the Future of Immersive AI and Interactive Art. As chaotic and uncertain as the future is right now, I think the strategy of this report is to listen to the artists and what the artists are saying and doing. Because if you listen to the artists, they'll have a guiding light for how to move forward because they're really deeply attuned to what's happening in the world. Because ITVA is a documentary festival and Doc Lab is looking at the intersection of these creative treatments of actuality that are happening in the context of immersive experiences and experiential design, then you end up having like a collective zeitgeist of what's happening in the moment. And so the artists that are there at Doc Lab are synthesizing the world and reflecting back. And a lot of the big theme this year at IFA Doc Lab was off the internet. So getting off the internet because we are being deluged with this algorithmic dehumanization of AI and essentially, you know, the dissolution of civic society and democracy as we have democratically backsliding authoritarianism taking over here in the United States. And that's sort of like a virus that has the potential of spreading around the world unless people inoculate themselves by, you know, disconnecting from different aspects of technology. That was kind of the theme in a lot of the projects that were being covered. I've got over 20 hours of interviews with creators at IFA Doc Club kind of digging into some of these specific projects. But in this report, it's not only reflecting as to what is happening there, but taking that as a call to action to actually use immersive experiences to revitalize civic society. If being online is increasingly becoming more of a hellscape of AI slop and dehumanization, and less you living into your human flourishing of what you are meant to be as a human being, then there are these opportunities that are happening in the immersive location-based entertainment movements where we have more of these technologies that are having people come together. The nice thing around location-based entertainment is that there's this kind of natural law of in order to be economically sustainable, you actually have to do it in groups of people, which means that there's more and more ways that these immersive experiences are experimenting with novel emergent social dynamics to, you know, at the end of the day, hopefully start to revitalize aspects of civic society that's been completely demolished by these companies that are trying to use surveillance capitalism to harvest all of our data and addict us and have us fighting each other just because they want to have us in these dopamine loops of their websites. So immersive experiences are providing this antidote for people to actually come together as a civic society, have these really deep and meaningful experiences, and hopefully, you know, do different things like Martin DeWall was talking around the value of friction, which is also a friction manifesto that was coming from Roel Walters and Lunar Maurer. They had a piece called Deep Soup that was really leveraging on the work of Miriam Rash, who's a Dutch philosopher who was writing about friction, the value of friction, and that we live in a society where all the technology is trying to create this kind of frictionless experience. And the antidote to that is to embrace friction, because part of dealing with other people is there's a lot of friction. It's not easy. And so if we just let the billionaire tech capitalists, soon to be trillionaires, control everything, then they're trying to eliminate all human interaction. And because of that, they're trying to eliminate all human labor. They're trying to basically create this dystopian society where all of the power and control is consolidated within their own hands. That's a lot of what the tendency of what AI is heading towards. And so the antidote to that is to embrace things like friction. Like, we don't need to have technology erase all the friction in our lives. And also, Martin DeWall was talking around, there needs to be ways that we embrace this creative friction and how we coexist with each other. Because if we eliminate all friction by creating these filter bubbles of reality, then we have this kind of polarization and the dissolution of society, because there's only one side that's being represented in how we understand the nature of reality. And we actually need a dialectical process of people actively engaging in the messiness of trying to figure out what the best strategies might be. That doesn't mean that one side has figured it all out. It actually requires a holistic way of trying to have this kind of deliberative democracy that's being totally eroded by social media malaise and the ills of our society that are coming back to the ways that these companies are not having any sort of fiduciary responsibility for what kind of impact their technologies are having, or having some sort of public interest, or encouraging human flourishing, or, you know, all these things that artists who are trying to like re-inspire us into what it means to be human and to connect to each other as groups of people in a functioning civic society. So that's kind of like the shared realities coalition that's going to be really having these artists that are collaborating with researchers and trying to experiment with trying to create immersive experiences that are revitalizing civic society. And so a lot of the big themes that are happening in this IFA Doc Lab report were, how do you de-isolate society and how you start to bring people together across all these different levels and scales? And so that de-isolation was a key theme within this report. And so if you read through it, you'll get a lot of sense of what's happening across the industry, across independent location-based entertainment distribution, what's happening with de-isolating the XR community itself and having this kind of interdisciplinary collaborations, but also the exhibitors and the distribution options that are available outside of what has been this online platform, bring people back into these physical spaces with natural affordances of things that you can't get just by doing things alone at home. Part of the whole affordances of XR are these kind of unique emergent social dynamics that are happening, bringing people together, but also haptics and other things that you can't necessarily have as a consumer device, rather than having the model of everyone having a headset at their home, bringing people into these public spaces and having these really meaningful experiences together, and also exploring concepts of friction and what's it mean to have a functioning civic society. So there's a lot of exciting stuff that's happening with the Shared Realities Consortium, which is just one part of what the CCCIC is doing. There's lots of other things that they're also funding, trying to use public funding inspired by this Mariana Mazzucato idea of mission-oriented funding, where you have these big goals that you want to achieve and you start to fund these variety of different innovation projects trying to achieve those public value goals. That's also talked about in the context of this report as well. So yeah, I'm excited to start to dig into some of these other things that are happening outside of the bubble of what's happening here in the United States. Lots of exciting things that are happening with this type of public funding, but also just broadly what's happening within the context of immersive storytelling, how there's these new models for what's it mean for, if you think about the theater, when you go to a movie theater and having that shared experience of watching a movie, there's a similar type of thing of like, what does the theater look like for XR immersive exhibitions? And that's all these different design disciplines, from the performing arts, from theater, from the movie theaters, to custom-made Excurio large-scale immersive XR experiences that have high throughput from 100 to 150 people per hour going through these guided tour type of experiences. Also Phi and what's happening with Phi. So it's a bit of a survey of what's happening at all these different scales of what's happening with this emerging indie XR distribution revolution that's happening. And it's a vision of that. It is happening. It's a report of what is happening, but it's also kind of a call to arms for other folks to kind of live into this vision, to create these new opportunities and make them real by having lots of different strands of this indie XR distribution as a way of describing what's happening. And so hopefully this report will help to catalyze some of that, but also what's happening with the CCCIC, I think, is super inspiring because they're starting that there in the Netherlands. It's a 5-year fund, 200 million euros. And that if it's successful, then it may start to expand out to other countries as well. And there's lots of other collaborations that I think are starting to happen there. And that their whole thesis is that the next wave of digital is actually immersive. And with that comes not just defining it by AR, VR, XR, AI, but this phenomenological, direct embodied experiences of people coming together as a functioning civil society. And so it's much broader than just kind of thinking around the internet and with how we've been framing and thinking about XR as kind of like the quote unquote metaverse from some of the failed visions of what Meta has been trying to do with their own first party app emphasis. You know, Meta has done a great job of kickstarting the industry, subsidizing lots of stuff, but the real core strategy was to focus on their own first-party apps above and beyond facilitating the developer ecosystem. They're taking a step from a lot of those first-party app initiatives, and so there's an opportunity now for that, you know, where the true value is in the XR industry, which is from these independent developers and from these people outside of Meta, where not a lot of innovation has happened in the terms of experiential design. Most of the most compelling experiences have been coming from these independent developers, and I think will continue to be coming from the edges of the industry, but also with public funding like this that's coming from the C3IC that's going to start to really experiment with innovation in completely new ways of creating infrastructure. Yeah, so take a look at the report from IFA Doc Lab, and I'll be very curious to see how the C3IC initiatives from the Shared Realities initiative that's a part of this larger artistic and design research and immersive experiences, the ADRIE. And yeah, there's lots of really exciting things. I'll put some links in the show notes. Go check out the report, which has a bit of a recap of this interview that I did with Helene at United XR in order to kind of include different aspects of what's happening there within the context of this report. So yeah, that's all I have for today. And I'm just really excited to be digging into some of these different topics. And I've got a huge backlog of stuff I'm excited to start to dive into with a couple other interviews from what's happening with the Lincoln Center. I did a really great interview with Joseph Pine of the Transformation Economy that I'm really excited to get out there. There's a lot of interesting ideas that are kind of expanding upon what has come with the experience economy and now moving into the next phase of an economic offering of transformations and what's it mean to try to really develop these meaningful immersive experiences. Those are the next immediate things. And then I'll be diving into my South by Southwest coverage, United XR coverage, and then Venice Immersive coverage. Hopefully all before I go out for the Augmented World Expo. So I've been reading these ideas from Joseph Pine around the transformation economy. I think part of the thing that I identify with is I want to be a change maker and provide this information out there to help to tell these stories about a potential future that doesn't quite exist yet, this kind of speculative world building of writing a report like this. And if you enjoy that type of work and enjoy the podcast and find value from it, then please do consider joining the Patreon at patreon.com/voicesofvr. Thanks for listening.